Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue to investigate lies in the textbooks. Today we will be talking about the Jews and their God. To learn about what the textbook stated about the religion of Judaism, the God of the Jews, the people of Israel. Don't forget, whenever the textbook speaks about Islam, the Quran, Muhammad, or Allah, they always insert their claim to our children in the textbook as if it is 100% true, no matter what the topic is about. And when you read what is written in our textbooks about Islam, you will come to the conclusion it must be true, no doubt whatsoever. This can be even found in any other religion, Buddhism, Hinduism, or any other cult out there. But when we talk about Christianity, or in our case here, Judaism, we will always use other words, which causes the student to doubt whatever he's reading in the textbook. The message exactly behind the way they write this information about Judaism or Christianity is we're really telling the student, we do not promote that, we don't believe in that, but that is what the Jews believe, that is what the Christian believe. That's why you see in the beginning of the writing about Christianity or Judaism, the textbook always begin with the word according. So listen carefully to how the textbook represents the religion of Judaism and the God of Judaism. For we read,
from the textbook World History, published by Thompson, Wadsworth, copyright 2004, on page 26, the people of Judah survived, eventually becoming known as the Jews and giving their name to Judaism, the religion of Yahweh, the Jewish God. According to the Jewish conception, there is but one God, called Yahweh, who is the creator of the world and everything in it. The Jewish God ruled the world. He was subject to nothing. All people were his servants, whether they knew it or not.
The people of Judah survived, eventually became known as the Jews, and giving their name to Judaism, the religion of Yahweh, the Jewish God. Why the textbook did not do the same critique to Islam by telling us that the God of Muhammad is known by the name Allah? No. They don't want to make the children believe that Muslims worship a different God, but perhaps, maybe, the Jews worship different God than the God of Islam and Christianity. See, the God of Judaism is known by the name Yahweh, but the God of Islam, his name is God. Let me read to you what Citizen for National Security state about that. They said, the Jews do not call their God Yahweh. The term is derived from the appearance of God in the burning bush before Moses. When Moses asked his name, God says, I am what I am. The Jews feel that the name may not be spoken because of its holiness. Some have tried to express it in Hebrew as Yahweh, but not the Jews. As for the second phrase, describing the character of God, the God of the Jews, he was subject to nothing. The Jewish people and all people were to regard themselves as his servants. This is an incorrect and improper description of the character of God. Throughout the Bible, God is described as holy, loving, just, eternal, forgiving, everlasting, worthy of having over 30 descriptive names. The text is again patronizing and dismissive of God Himself. Once again, let me give you the summary as stated in Citizen for National Security. Three very simple points. Number one, the Jewish people do not call their God Yahweh. Number two, God is disrespectfully described as some sort of worldly potentate. The third point is the Jews believed that God is just, loving, and forgiving. Hence, they obey Him not because they are merely servants. As you go throughout the Bible, the Jews love the Lord God and they serve Him as He even commanded them to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. The Jewish people were not forced to serve God, but they were commanded to love Him. And when they loved Him, they served Him with all their heart and mind and soul. As Jesus explained that not only you love God, but even you love your neighbor as yourself. The loving God of the Bible is not known to the Muslim, and sadly, nor to the liberal, the atheist, who are writing all these lies in our textbooks to deceive our children not to know the truth about the Bible and the God of the Bible. And sadly, here we see the textbook try to describe the God of the Bible, the God of Judaism, to be anything else but the loving and just God. Whoever wrote this passage in our textbook, he's literally manipulating the words of his passage to make it teach something about the God of the Jews to be what it is not. Why they did not mention any of the attributes of God which is written throughout the Bible. No, they just picked up the right language to make our children believe that that is the nature of the God of the Jews. He is the one who forced the people to serve Him, whether they know it or not, whether they like it or not. He was subject to nothing. As they stated that the Jewish God, Yahweh, rules the world, He was subject to nothing. That is not a true description to my God, to the God of the Jewish faith, to the God of the Bible. Now let's change our subject a little bit. Let's talk about what the textbook states about Nazism and the Jews in Europe. Listen carefully how the textbook states the fact about Nazism and the Jews.
In the textbook, The American Vision, published by McGraw-Hill, Glencoe, copyright 2008, on page 694, the Nazis systematically attempted to kill all European Jews and others whom they regarded as inferior.
Now here are the comments by Citizens for National Security. For they stated, the claim that the Nazis attempted to kill all European Jews is true, but the rest of the sentence is not. The Nazis' 6 extermination camps for the explicit purpose of exterminating the Jews. These extermination camps were Auschwitz, Majdanek, Chelmno, Sobibor, Treblinka, and Bergen-Belsen. They were built in accordance with the Wannsee Conference of 20 January 1942 that addressed the extermination of the Jews. The conference led to the final solution, the transport and murder of 6 million European Jews. The main problem with the passage is that it collapses the Jews into the category of just another victim, ignoring the fact the extermination camps in Poland were designed to murder Jews, not the disabled, the gypsies, homosexuals, and Slavic peoples. The Nazis did establish concentration camps in the 1930s for the imprisonment of political enemies, physically disabled people, gypsies, homosexuals, Christians, and others who oppose the Nazi regime. There were hundreds of such places, including Dachau, Ravensbrück, Sachsenhausen, Flossenbürg, Mauthausen, and Theresienstadt. These were terrible places, and many prisoners died there, but only the Jews were targeted with extermination.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Now, let us look together at how the Jews were living, how they survived, how much right did the Jews have under the Nazism, as stated in the textbooks. You know, it's amazing, all what I have seen so far, throughout our textbooks, when they talk about Christian in the Muslim world, and we have covered some of this in our previous programs, we see that they always represent Christian to have freedom in the Muslim world, freedom under the rulership of Muslims. They never told our children in our textbooks about the persecution of the church, the persecution of Christian in all the 57 Muslim countries. And I wonder why. Why the textbook never tells the truth to our children? And here in the following passage, we'll look at the Jews' persecution. Will the textbooks tell the whole truth for what it is? We're talking about history. You should never change history as you teach it to the following generation. It should be told to our students, to our children, as it was. But that's not the case here. So let us look together. How the textbook introduce our children to know the rights of the Jews in the Nazism system.
On page 696, Kristallnacht, the text indicates that on this occasion, the Gestapo arrested at least 20,000 wealthy Jews. The caption over the photo on the bottom left corner reads, "After World War II broke out, the Nazis methodically deprived Jews of their rights."
The first statement has anti-Semitic overtones, and the second statement is false. This phrasing creates the impression that wealth and Jews were synonymous and that the understandable economic envy drove the Nazis' policies against the Jews. First, more than 30,000 Jews were arrested, including Jews of all classes. Many were owners of a small retail stores in Berlin. So many windows were smashed by the Nazi brown shirts that the streets were covered with broken glass. Hence, the same name, Kristallnacht. Second, since the beginning of the Aryanization of Jewish property in October 1937 and with the laws passed from 1933 onward, limiting where Jews could work, there were no wealthy Jews in Germany. The numbering laws passed in 1935, under the Nazi rule, deprived Jews of all rights and began the seizure of Jewish property. Here I would like to share with you two more thoughts, as it is written by Citizen for National Security. For they stated, Jews were arrested prior to the outbreak of World War II in 1939 because they were Jews, not for reasons of economic envy. The deprivation of Jewish right in Germany began with laws passed in 1933 and then were expanded by Nuremberg laws in 1935. Now let us look again to another textbook to see how the history of what took place to the Jews, specifically to the Jews in Europe, was twisted, that when our students read what is written in the textbook, they will not come to the realization of the reality of the persecution the Jews went through was a direct action against the Jews. But our student will come to the conclusion that it was unjust to all these different groups of people who lived in Europe. No. We should write in our textbook the true history, that there was an attempt to get rid of the Jews. It was not about the rest of the other people, but it was a direct plan by Satan and the Nazi to get rid of the Jews. And I wonder why in the world we do not show compassion to the truth of the history by telling our children the truth for what it is, not trying to enlighten the matter to our student. Now listen carefully how the textbook introduces the next statement.
On page 698, Nazi atrocities included sending millions of Jews, gypsies, the disabled, and others to concentration and extermination camps.
The response is given by Citizen for National Security, which states, again, the passage is misleading because it attempts to obscure the final solution the Nazis had planned for the Jews. At the January of 1942 Wannsee Conference, the final solution of the Jewish question, not the gypsy question, or the disabled question, or the Slav question. Here we have the leveling of the Jews into a general category of victim, with no distinctions made with regard to who is targeted for extermination and why. Now I would like to close our program today by this final deceptive passage, which sadly is taught to our children all over the United States of America through our public schools.
In the textbook, The American Vision, published by McGraw-Hill, Glencoe, copyright 2008, on page 1038, American support of Israel also angered many in the Middle East. In 1947, the UN divided British-controlled Palestine into two territories to provide a home for Jews. One part became Israel. The other part was to become a state for Palestinian Arabs. But fighting between Israel and the Arab states in 1948 left this territory under the control of Israel, Jordan, and Egypt.
It is amazing. When I read a passage like that, and I see that this is what we're teaching our children in our own public schools, that America support Israel made the Middle East countries, which obviously the Muslim world, angry and mad at us. Maybe that's what is the whole idea which the liberal is trying to plant in our children's hearts and mind and soul. We should not support Israel, because if we support Israel, we will make the Muslim countries in the Middle East upset. So what we should do? Let's look at the liberal agenda in America. Maybe we should disregard Israel and support the Muslim countries in the Middle East, like exactly what the President of America today is doing. He is supporting the Brotherhood of Egypt. He is supporting the jihadists in Syria. He is supporting the jihadists in Libya. He will support the jihadists in Gaza. He will literally support everybody else. And if you say, why you're doing that? He will say, to bring peace between Egypt and Israel, between all these countries and Israel. Really? So we should send more F-16, F-18, tanks and weapons of war to the Middle East, which will be used in war against Israel. We will empower the Muslim countries which surround the state of Israel to make peace between us and the Middle East, or between the Arab and Israel. Does this make any sense to you? Why not teach our children the truth of what took place in Israel after the state of Israel was recognized by the United Nations and by the United States of America? And here is the facts which our children should learn in our textbook. The Arab states surrounding Israel refused to acknowledge the existence or the right for the existence of the state of Israel. And that's why they launched 3 wars against Israel. And until today, they still desire to remove the Jewish nation from the map of the earth. They don't want, and they will never accept Israel to exist in their own home country because of their hatred towards the Jews. Even they know that the Jews have the right to live in their own land. To learn more about lies in the textbooks, join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.